Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled Spirit-Led Life. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free tape of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
If every church you go to, every town you go to, somebody prophesies to you, somebody gives you a tongue and interpretation, somebody takes you aside and said they picked it up in prayer, that when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to get thrown in jail, what would you maybe conclude? Well, maybe I ought not go to Jerusalem. But notice two things. Notice what he said in the first part of this. He said, I go what? Bound in the spirit. What does that mean? It means I've just got it in my spirit. I've got to go. Right? I've got to go. And then what did he say after he said that everywhere he goes, the Holy Ghost witnesses that bonds and afflictions are waiting on him? Verse 24. But what? None of these things move me. What, these bonds and afflictions that are waiting on me? Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, let's learn something to discern here. There are times when the Lord will warn you about something that's, you know, has negative parts to it, so you can avoid it. So you can pray about it and get it changed, or so that you can be led and not be at the wrong place at the wrong time, like we've been talking about. There are other times when the Lord will talk to you and deal with you about something that has negative implications, but he's not dealing with you to stop it, he's just getting you ready for it. Did you hear me? He's getting you ready for it. Some things can be changed. Other things he's just getting you ready for. Was Paul destined to these things? Do you remember? Just turn back a few pages to the 9th chapter when he got saved. In the 9th chapter, you remember he's on the road to Damascus. He sees the bright light. He can't see. He fasts for 3 days. And the Lord spoke to a disciple named Ananias. You remember that? Yes, verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. He's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias said, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on that name. But the Lord said to him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. It's not talking about suffering being broke all the time, because there are times when Paul had his own hired house with servants for years, went to different places and preached the gospel. There are other times when he had given everything away and he didn't have something. But he said, I've learned in every state, you know, to be content. And he talked about how that God always supplied his needs. You remember that? So it's not just suffering being broke, not suffering sickness and disease. God raised him from the dead one time when he was stoned. You remember that? But what? They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And he was in jail for preaching Jesus. And he was in chains for preaching Jesus. But that's how the Roman government paid for his transport. And that's how he came before kings. Isn't that right? So was he supposed to say, no, I'm not going to Jerusalem? And then he wouldn't have been in jail. And then he wouldn't have gone and stood before the king. No, it was his destiny. So the Holy Ghost wasn't telling him, don't do it. The Holy Ghost was preparing him for it. Yes. Now go to the 21st chapter, please. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 21, verse 4. In their travels, they came to another place, and the Bible says, Paul there, finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, did you hear that language?
Yes, sir.
They said to him what?
Not to go.
Don't go. And how did they say it?
Through the Spirit.
Now notice in verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, 21:10, there came down from Judea a certain prophet. Now were these other individuals prophets? Verse 4, the people that said don't go. No, they were not prophets. Didn't say they were ministers. They were what?
Disciples.
We might call them lay people, believers. But here's a prophet. He took Paul's girdle, his belt, and tied up his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. How many understand that's stronger than impression?
Amen.
That's stronger. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Did he tell him, thus saith the Holy Ghost, don't go? Huh? Read it again now. Did he say, thus saith the Holy Ghost, don't go? No, he did not. What did he say? He said, the Holy Ghost says, this is what's going to happen. Right? Now, the reason why I'm going through this slowly. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. His own crusade team and the people there, they said, well, Paul, don't go. I mean, the Holy Ghost just said. Agabus was a well-respected prophet, you know. And what did he say? Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And when he would not be persuaded, thank God he wouldn't be persuaded.
Amen.
We ceased saying what?
Well,
then they weren't convinced that it wasn't God's will for him to go. Right? I've read some theologians and they try to tell you Paul missed it by going to Jerusalem, but they're just not looking carefully enough. The Lord told Paul when he got saved that he was going to bear his name before kings and Gentiles, and that's how it happened. And he was going to suffer things for his name's sake. That's how it happened. But the reason I'm talking about this, go back to that, what is it, that fourth verse? The disciples that told him, don't go up. Now, they actually said, don't go up to Jerusalem. How did they say that? By what? It said, through the Spirit. Now, if you look up these words, another translation, the Williams translation says, because of impressions made by the Spirit. The Amplified says, prompted by the Spirit. You must discern between perception and leading. No doubt these people, they weren't prophets, they weren't ministers, but they got to praying and in these meetings with Paul and the Spirit of God's moving, and they picked it up in their spirit, what he'd been hearing all along, bondage, affliction is waiting on you in Jerusalem. But then they put their own interpretation on it and they said, don't go. In learning to be led, you must watch this. Don't fill in the blanks.
Amen.
Did you hear me? You may sense something right, but then assume that it means this and miss it entirely. Brother Hagin said, some years ago at a church he was at, he had some ladies that were having a prayer meeting. It was apart from the church, and that's fine. People pray at their house if they want to. But they got to praying, and one of the members came and said, Brother Hagin, I think you ought to check on this thing. I think it's getting off. And one of the reasons she said that is because they had decided that it was time for Brother Hagin to go from the church. And he said in his own prayer life, he had sensed He had already picked up some things about him going, but it wasn't time. It was years away. But, and see, no doubt they had, you get in the spirit, you can pick up some things in prayer, but you can put your own interpretation on what they mean or when and how they're supposed to happen. I mean, there's been times I picked up things in my spirit and it seemed so real and it didn't happen for 15 years. But see, in the spirit, time is not like it is here. But you go to trying to make it happen the next day and you can cause so much trouble. And then these ladies are going around saying it's time for Brother Hagin to leave, and we're totally wrong. Just like these guys telling Paul he wasn't supposed to go, we're totally wrong. What they perceived was right. What their interpretation of it and application of it was wrong. Does that make sense? How many understand you can put your own wrong interpretation on a right spiritual witness? You did get something from God, but you put your own interpretation on it and you tried to make it mean something else. I know, looking back over our life, so thankful how the Lord's led us. We had the witness. This was, 25 plus years ago? We had the witness that we were to go to a camp meeting of Kenneth Hagin Ministries. It took all the faith we could muster to believe for gas money to get out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and money to get a room. We'd never been out of the country. We got lost every night trying to get from the convention center to the motel it was. And we were there and they were giving tours of the school. And it just seemed like we ought to go. Did you get that now?
Yeah.
And so we went. And while we're walking around on the campus, something was going on inside us. A witness. I don't mean a voice. I don't mean a feeling. Sometimes part of the witness is associated with, it will affect your emotions. We're not led by feelings, but the witness can affect your emotions. Sometimes you'll get excited when you get a witness. Sometimes you'll cry. Not a depressed cry. I know several people have told me that when they came to church here and they had a witness, they were supposed to hook up and they started crying. That's happened many times.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching entitled Identifying the Witness, Part 4, you may write to More Life Ministries, Post Office Box 1010, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you may call our offices at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. The offer number is R-1207. That's R-1207. And the tape will be sent to you postage paid. For more information about this ministry and an itinerary of upcoming meetings, please visit our website at www.morelifenow.org. Also, if you are visiting in our area, we invite you to attend service with us at Faith Life Church in beautiful Branson, Missouri. Service times are Friday evening at 7:30 and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.